Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Ches, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. So yesterday we learned a rather lumdisha, intense Gemara. The Gemara discussed whether, according to the Chachamim that hold, Ein Adam Makne Dover Shalei Bala Olam, could one be Meshabit Adover Shalei Bala Olam, or can one not be Meshabit Adover Shalei Bala Olam? In other words, we know that Lach is Tanan Hasam, it's a Mishnah. Hamavis Chaver B'Shtar, if somebody lends his friend money, and there's a Shtar, and then when the Malva comes to the Leiva to collect for the outstanding loan, the Leiva tells him, I have no money. However, he had karka at the time of the loan that he has since sold. The halacha is that being that the milva was bishtar, gave him in a chasa mishubadim. The malva can go to the person that bought this field from the loiva, and he can collect the field from him. Will the loikeach, that person, be able to go back to the loiva and ask for his money back? It depends. It depends on what the agreement was. Was the mechira done by achrayas? Then yes. Was it not done by achrayas? No. There's a man dama that holds achrayas to yisoifer. So even if it wasn't done by achrayas, he'd be able to. But that's not really for us right now. What we need is that to the extent that the loan was done b'shtar, the malva has a right not just to collect from what the loiva has, but he can collect from anything that the loiva had at the time of the loan, even if he has since sold it. The shaila is, what happens if at the time of the loan, the loiva did not have a particular piece of property? He bought it later, and he since sold it. Do you say that being that it was a milva b'shtar, you gave him a nechasa mishubadim, the malva can collect that piece of property from the loikeach as well? Or do you say that no? That being that right now, when the malva is collecting that property, he's not collecting it directly from the loiva. The loiva sold it. He's collecting it from the lekeach, the person that bought it from the loiva. He has to come on to the halacha of a malva's chaveri b'shtar goivim in a chasa mishubadim. Meaning the only way he can collect it is because he has some sort of shibud, some sort of kinyan inside the chafetz. Being that the land, the property, wasn't in the possession of the loiva at the time of the loan, there was no way for the shibud to be chal. Because shibud chal at the time of the loan, and he didn't have that property at that time, even though he acquired it later, but the shibud right now cannot be chal on a dover, shloi b'lo oilam. So the Gemara says, according to Ramneh, that holds adam makne dover shloi b'lo oilam, it's pashut adam meshabed dover shloi b'lo oilam. The shaila was, according to the Chacham, that holds ain adam makne dover shloi b'lo oilam. What about shibud? Just like I can't buy a dover shloi b'lo oilam, so too perhaps I can't be meshabed a dover shloi b'lo oilam. Maybe shibud is different. To buy and sell something that's not b'lo oilam, that you can't do. But to create a shibud on a loiva loilam, that you could do. So maybe the argument would be that even if the loiva didn't have this property at the time of the loan, he acquired it later. As soon as he acquires it, it's chal v'shibud, somehow because of the original loan, and despite the fact that the shibud is supposed to be happening at the time of the loan, and it's not ba'olam at that time, it doesn't matter. The shibud could be chal even on the davash loiva loilam, so that if later the lekeach sells that piece of property, the malva would be able to go to the lekeach, he would be able to collect it. Now, we didn't talk out yesterday, what would be the tzad? What's the svara to say that if ein adam makne davash loiva loilam, that a person should be able to be meshabed a davar loiva loilam? So if you take a look at the Rashbam, the Rashbam says two reasons. Number one, says the Rashbam, Ein adam makne davar shloi b'lo oilam is always the pshat that I want to sell something that's physically not in the world. Now, I don't know if it's always the way it works, but that's what the Rashbam says. That I want to sell the fruit of a tree, fruit that didn't grow yet. So there, the davar hanikna is not in this world right now. It's just not here. It's something that's going to come lo'olam at some future date. Over here, this piece of property that we want to create a shibud on is ba'olam. It just so happens the loiva doesn't own it right now. And being that the loiva doesn't own it right now, perhaps I wouldn't be able to create a shibud on something that the loiva doesn't own. But the point is that the karka itself is ba'olam. So when you want to be makna davar shloi ba'olam, vir the chefetz hanikna is physically not in the world. Over here, the karka is physically in the world. It just so happens it's not in the possession of the loiva. But maybe, being that it's physically in the world, it would be different. Not such a pashut pshat. The second pshat, the Rashbam says, which is a little bit more balabatish, he says it could be really ein adam makne davar shloi b'lo oilam. But we know that the Chacham have a right to manipulate chayshe mishpat, hefker bezdin hefker. They may have been incentivized to say adam meshabed davar shloi b'lo oilam because it's difficult to get people to lend money to others in the first place. And the Chachamim, for that reason, made several kulas Prusbul, when it came to lending money, Shlotinel Delas Bifnei Lavin, and maybe this was an example of a Shlotinel Delas Bifnei Lavin, where the Chachamim said that even though really, if you follow the guidelines of Chesha Mishpat, if Eina the Makne Davash Leibel Oilam, you shouldn't be able to create Chibun on a Davash Leibel Oilam either, but Shlotinel Delas Bifnei Lavin, maybe that would be a little different. Tosfos says something else. Tosfos says that when you want to be kind of something, you have to do a Kinyan. But to create Shibud, you don't have to do a Kinyan in the Chayfetz where the Shibud is being chal. The Shibud happens Memela. I lend you money, I lend it to you, but the Shtar, there's Memela chal Shibud. So he says, when I have to do a Maisa Kinyan, there maybe it doesn't work on a Loi Baloilam. But where I don't have to do a Maisa Kinyan, says Tosfos, but rather, all I'm doing is loaning you money, and the Shibud is hiknu loy min hashamayim, so to speak. It comes from Shemayim. It's something that comes from Mimela. Maybe over there it would be different. Either way, we left off yesterday with an Ibaya. Do you say that according to the Chachamim, that Eid al Namak the Dovash Loy Baloilam, so too you can't create Shibud on a Loy Baloilam? Or maybe Shibud is going to be different. Says the Gemara, Intim Tzulaymet Ikni Kanu Machet Ikni Kanu Vahirish Loy Mishtabit, on the tzad, that a person can not create shibud on a loy b'loylam, just like you can't be makna davash loy b'loylam. Then haloy mishtabit. The question that I'm about to ask right now, says the Gemara, is not even going to be a question. It's pashut. The answer is going to be no. What's the question? We don't know yet, but we know the answer. So according to the tzad that you can't create shibud on a loy b'loylam, says the Gemara, I know the answer to the following question. It's no. Im temtzulayim mishtabit. If, however, the halach is that despite the fact that in the makna davash loy b'loylam, you still could create shibud on loy b'loylam, I have a Shaila, lava, vilava, vichaza vikana. If Shimon borrowed money from Reuven, borrowed $1,000. And then he borrowed money from somebody else, another $1,000. And then afterwards he acquired a piece of property and he sold it on the tzad that it was chal, a shibud, on the piece of property, despite the fact that he didn't own it at the time that he borrowed money from Malva number one and from Malva number two. Now, the Shibud Tzchal, despite the fact that it was Loi Baloilam. What's the question? The question is, there are two people that both have a claim to this piece of property. Each one is saying, it's Meshubah to me. Who actually has the Shibud? L'kama Mishtabit or L'basar Mishtabit? Does the first Malva get it, or does the second Malva get it? And the Rashbam explains the Tzodim of the Shailah. Do you say that the first one gets it? Charikasa Mishtar Mokdim. His Shtar is the earlier Shtar, so he comes first. Or L'basar Mishtabit. D'loy olam de'ikni litvois ad she'yavayu anuchasim ba'olam. Because realistically, even though we're saying that Shibud works despite the fact that the Leibid didn't have this property in his possession at the time of the loan, but that's Pashat, the Shibud can't be Chal until the property is in his possession. So at the time that it comes into his possession, maybe the way you have to look at it is give it to the person who had the more recent loan rather to the person that had the first loan, because the chikana hani nechasam achri kain ha-hoder bei mikama v'yikna basar. That's the punchline of the Rashbam. The punchline is that maybe when this person, Shimon, went and borrowed money from a second person, he was meichel, or he was chayzer from the shibud on the first malva, and instead he's giving the shibud to the second malva. Now you're going to ask me, how could you be chayzer from a shibud? The answer is, because the whole shibud wasn't chal yet. So being that it wasn't chal yet, perhaps I still have an ability to be chayzer. Why wasn't it chal yet? Because it can't physically be chal until it comes ba'olam. So you have a case where you be meshabed adava shaloi ba'olam. Being that you be meshabed adava shaloi ba'olam, it's not really chal until it's ba'olam. So if I was meshabed to two people, and now both people want the same property, does anyone have a kedima? There's an argument to say the first one should get it because he came first. There's an argument to say the second person got it because maybe when he was meshabeted to the second person, he was chayzer from the shibud to the first person. How can I be chayzer from a shibud? If I make a kinyan, I can't be chayzer from the kinyan. How can I be chayzer from the shibud? What's the answer? Because the shibud wasn't chal yet. If the shibud's chal, you can't be chayzer. Why wasn't the shibud chal yet? Because at the time of the shibud, it wasn't ba'olam. The chiddush is that I can start the wheels of the shibud turning despite the fact that the chayvitz is not ba'olam. But obviously it's not going to be chal until it's ba'olam. So it could be mean that it wasn't chal yet. I have a right to be chayzer. And maybe when you were meshabedet to the second person, that's exactly what you did. Either way, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amil Si Ba'olam, we weren't sure what the halacha was. V'sholcho mitam. So this is the great Rav Nachman who the halacha always follows in Chayshu Mishpat. He himself didn't know what the halacha was. He sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael, and they sent him back the following response: Rishoin Kona. The first one is the answer. Rav Huna said, "No, I disagree." Yachloiku. The Chen Tani Rabbi Baravua. Rabbi Baravua said the same thing. Yachloiku. Amar Rabbi said, "Madura Kamad Ravashi." I'm on the Rishon Kona. The first time I learned Bava Basra to Ravashi, he said the first one. Madura Basra to Ravashi. But when I learned Bava Basra a second time with Ravashi, Amalon Yachloiku, then he said the halacha is Yachloiku, the Hilchasa, and what is the halacha? Yachloiku. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, I'll ask you a kash. Again, what's the Shaila? The Shaila is on the tzad that Adam could create Shibun on a label oilam. What if someone was Meshabbat himself twice? He borrowed money from Reuven, then he borrowed money from somebody else. Both times he said, I'm being Meshabbat, even Nechasim that I'm going to buy in the future. He bought Nechasim in the future, he sold it. Both Malvas both want to collect on this piece of property. Who gets it? Does the first one get it, or does the second one get it? So the Gemara says, L'shvach karkois keitzad. It's at the end of yesterday's daf, we had a very fun case. What was the case? Somebody sells a field to his friend. So yesterday we went through it in rather detail. Just very quickly again. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Shimon had a piece of property. He sells it to Levi. Reuven goes to Shimon. I want my money. Shimon says, I don't have money. He says, no worries. I can be given from Nechasim and Shubadim. It was a milv of Beshtar. He goes to Levi and he takes the property that Levi bought from Shimon. Levi has recourse. He goes back to Shimon and he tells Shimon, I want you to give me back the money that I gave you. So the halacha is as follows. Levi can collect the money that he gave Shimon from Shimon, or if Shimon doesn't have it, but Shimon has his own nechasim mishubadim, because he had another piece of property that he sold to Yehuda, Levi can go to Yehuda and collect, but there's a limitation. Levi can only collect from Yehuda the principal, the keren, the amount of money that he gave Shimon, but any appreciated value of this property that Reuven took from Levi, that Levi will now have recourse towards Shimon, that he can't collect from Yehuda. So Shvach Karkois, you can only collect from the Chasam Bnei Chayim, that you can collect from Shimon himself, but there you don't have a right to go. What did we bring this in for yesterday? Because yesterday the Gemara was taken aback. Mechatesi Reuven even has a right to collect the Shvach from Levi. If we're discussing whether Levi can collect the Shvach from Yehuda or not, it means that Reuven took the Shvach from Levi. Why does Reuven even have a right to take the Shvach from Levi? But now we're bringing this case in for something else, and that is Ve'im Isa. Now, if you're going to tell me that Lava, V'chaza V'kana, that Loch is Yachloiku, Chatzi Shvach mi Boyele, because this Shvach, as the Gemara pointed out in yesterday's daf, although it comes out, it's Meshubid, but really it wasn't Ba'ilam at the time of the loan. It wasn't Ba'ilam at the time of anything. When Reuven lent the money to Shimon, the Shvach that Levi was Mashbich, the field obviously wasn't Ba'ilam. Levi wasn't even in the picture at the time. And when Levi bought the field from Shimon, the Shvach that he was later going to put and invest into the field wasn't Ba'ilam. Obviously, he was Mashbich it after he already bought it. So this is all Shvach that wasn't Ba'ilam. Now Shimon owes two people. He's in a bad situation. He owes Reuven because he borrowed money from Reuven. He owes Levi because he sold a field to Levi that was taken away from Levi, so that Levi is now coming back to Shimon. Reuven and Levi both have rights to go after Nechasim Meshubadim. Reuven has a right to go after Nechasim Meshubadim because it was a Bilva Beshtar. Levi has a right to go after Nechasim Meshubadim because the Mechira had Achrayas Nechasim. There's this piece of land that wasn't Ba'olam at the time of Reuven's loan to Shimon. It wasn't Ba'olam at the time that Levi bought the field from Shimon. And right now, two people want it. And what's the halacha? Reuven gets it. Freak the Gemara, it's a Mefurish Araya. Checkmate. Beautiful. So what do you see from here? You see that Lava, the Lava, the Chaz of Akana, who gets it? Rishon gets it. Because if you're going to tell me that the halacha is, like Rav Huna said, V'chein Toni Rabba Baravua, Yachloiku. And the way Ravashi said in the Madura Basra that halacha is Yachloiku. Then you know what halacha should be? You take the Shvach and you divide it between Reuven and Levi. So why does Reuven have a right to take the whole Shvach and leave Levi with nothing, being forced to collect the Shvach from Shimon because he doesn't have a right to take the Shvach from Yehuda, right? The keren he can get from Yehuda, but the shvach he can only take from Shimon. L'chura, Reuven should only have a right to half of the shvach, because the shvach is the ikni kana. It wasn't ba'olam at the time. So even if you're going to tell me the shibud is chal, but there's two people now that have a claim. Reuven has a claim, alts malva. Levi has a claim, alts lokeach. They both have a claim on something that wasn't ba'olam. We're not even sure who's supposed to get it. If the halacha is yachloiku, that's the way many of the amiram paskin, then Reuven should only be allowed to take half of the shvach. Why does he have a right to take the whole shvach? Chatzi shvach mi ba'olay. So the Gemara says, you're right. My good man, Ami diktani. Chatzi shvach. Exhale. Zok the Mishnah writer. So we had a Mishnah and the Kuf Nun Zayin and Aleph that discussed. There were actually two people in a house. Lo yaleinu, a father and a son. And nafal abayis olav v'al oviv. And we were not sure who died first. Did the son die first or did the father die first? Why does it matter? It matters because the son had a bal chayv. And this bal chayv had been trying to collect from the son, but he never had any money, and there was no way for him to collect. If the father died before the son yarshened his father for that moment that he was alive, before he himself died. Now that his yarshin him, they will have a responsibility, to pay up the chayv. But that's only going to be the case if the father died first. What if the son died first? If the son died first and the son never yarshined, then there's not going to be an issue. Either way, that was a shayla. Said it's machloikis b'shamim b'shillel. B'shamim ol shtaro imed ligvois kegavoy dami that lachas yachloiku. And b'shillel said nechasim b'cheskasan. Either way, we have a similar related halacha. Nafal habayis, not olav v'aloviv, but rather olav v'al ishtoi. It fell on a man and his wife. Now we know that a husband yarshins his wife. A woman does not yashin her husband. Stating that, although a husband yashins his wife, there is one big difference between Baal that's Yerush Ishtoi and all other yashin, and that is Baal's not Yerush Ishtoi bekever. So the only time a Baal is Yerush Ishtoi is if the woman dies while the husband's alive. But let's say the man dies first and then the woman dies, although in regular Hilchas Nachleis. For example, if a man dies and he had three sons, and one son died while he was alive. The halacha is that the son that's not alive is Yerush's father bekever, so that his own children will now have a schus, and that Yerusha, that was the story of the Bnei Slavcha. So the children will now have a schus, they'll be able to be Asher. But a Baal is not Yerush's Ishtar bekever, number one. Number two, a woman that can have money in one or three forms. So from a halachic standpoint, all women's assets can be divided into one of three categories. What are the three categories? Nichsei Malog, Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, and Ksuba, which sometimes we count and sometimes we don't count, depending on the sugya that you're learning. But it's Nechsei Malog, it's Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, and it's Ksuba. What does Nechsei Malog mean? Nechsei Malog on the chasim that a woman brings, it's like her nadin, where the arrangement at the time of the marriage was that she's keeping it, she is the sole owner of these assets. If it goes up in value, she makes the money. If it goes down in value, she assumes the risk. The Baal is Eichel Peiros, it's one of the takanas. But the actual asset is under the title of the woman. Nechsei Tzayim Barzel is similar, where a woman brings in a nadin, but the agreement is that she's giving it to her husband, she's being maknet to her husband, it belongs to him. If it goes up in value, he makes the profit. If it goes down in value, he's the one that's going to have to incur the loss. The husband, however, has an obligation. The obligation is that when the marriage is terminated, because either he dies or he divorces his wife, he has an obligation to give her back dollar for dollar what it was that she brought into the marriage. So what's the difference between Nechsei Tzayim Barzel and Nechsei Malog? Very, very fundamental. Who owns the assets? Nechsei Malog, she owns it. He just has a schus achilas peiros. Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, he owns it. He just has an obligation. It's like a loan. But he's the one that actually owns it. The third category is, of course, ksuba. That's the obligation that every man has. Whether ksuba sishas deiraisa, the rabbanon, whether she's a besula, she's an almana. You have all the toisvis ksuba, but all dine ksuba get bundled into this one umbrella called ksuba, which is the obligation that a man has to. When does he have to fulfill that obligation? Same thing, when the marriage is terminated. When the man either dies, then the yarshin would have the obligation to take from the estate, pay up the ksuba, just like they'd have to pay up any other chayv. It's treated very much like a chayv. Some differences, bal chayv is chayv, a benin is, ksuba sisha ziburis. So there are nafkuminas that you find throughout Shas, but at its core, it's an obligation, it's a chayv that the yarshin will have. If it marriage is terminated via divorce, then it would be the husband's own responsibility to pay. So over here we have a situation where a husband and a wife, they were in a house, they were on a plane, it died, they don't know who died first. That's the shayla. Yorshei habal oimrim. The yorshei habal say isha meisarishan. They want the woman to die first. Why? Because if she died first, that means her husband was alive when she died. The Baal was Yerush's Ishtoi. His Yerushim are now going to get everything. V'achakach meis Baal. Yerushi Ishoim. The Yerushi Isha say no. Baal meis Rishoim. V'achakach meis Isha. First the husband died, and then the woman died. L'may nafkimina. She's not Yerushiming the husband anyways. But the nafkimina is that he didn't Yerushin her. So when she died, her husband was already dead. The Baal is not Yerush's Ishtoi Bekever. So any assets that she had is going to go to her Yerushim, Ayin Bereshban, in terms of who they may be, and not go to his Yarshim. So what's the halach? Bishamim, Bishamim says, Yachloiku, Ubei Siloloimim, Bein Silol says, Nechasim Becheskasim, the Nechseit Zayim Barzel, you leave by the Muchsik. Who's the Muchsik? That's going to be the Gemara. Ksuba, that's easy, Becheskas Yarshay Habal, that we know for sure who the Muchsik is. Who's the Muchsik with the Ksuba? It's for sure the husband's family. He's not alive anymore, but it's his Yarshim. Why would it be his Yarshim? Because it was merely a chayv, an obligation that the husband had to pay. He's certainly the muchzik. There's nothing to talk about. And nechasim hanichnasim vayoytzim ima, the nechasim elug, becheskes yarsheyav, which is another way of saying her yarshim, because that was always hers. So the nechasim elug is for sure going to be in the possession of her yarshim, says Beis Hillel. The ksuba was worth $100,000, that's going to belong to the Yarshei Habal, because that was for sure theirs. It was merely a responsibility that they had to pay it. As it relates to the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, the other class that we talked about, Beis Hillel's Lashon is Nechasim B'cheskasim. What exactly does that mean? So for that already, we're going to have to see in the Gemara. But high level, Beis Shammai said Yachloiku. What did Beis Hillel say? Hamitzim Echaveri, all right, let's just figure out who the Muchzik is. That's where the devil is in the detail here. But in terms of what the halach is, says Beis Hillel, it's a moitzim mechaveri. All right. At first glance, it would seem like this has maybe something to do with the machlokes sumchas and the chachamim. Mamon amotu b'safik, where there's a drar de mamayna. Presumably, we have no way of even knowing who died first. Sumchas says yachloiku. The chachamim says zekal gadol b'din. A moitzim mechaveri. All right. But really, it's not so pashit because it's totally in the Gemara above Mitzia, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that even Sumchas only said as halacha the kaima b'simta when there's no muchzik, where all there is a marakama. But if there's a muchzik, even Sumchas would agree. A moitzim mechaveri. All right. That's Rabbeinu Shmuel, the top famous Tosfos in above Mitzia, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, in the sugya machle par v'chamar. So this already touches on a very intense sugya. The ein kan v'koymer b'harich. Either way, says the Gemara, becheskes me. So again, Beis Shammai said, Nafal abayis olav al ishtoi, maman amutu besafik yachli. Beis Hillel said, you leave it by the muchzik. Okay, so let's take a look and analyze each one of the three classes. Next to Malug, working backwards, that's easy, you leave it by the woman. Ksuba, that's also easy, you leave it by the man. What about the next Yitzoyim Barzol? So for some reason, the Gemara was a little ambiguous. Nechasim becheskasan. So what does it mean? Becheskasam, becheskes me. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, and said becheskes Yerushei Habal. It means the husband. Rabbi Lozam, Rabbi Lozam says becheskes Yerushei Isha. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mishum bar Kapara, Amar Yachloiku, Vechein Tani bar Kapara, Hayu v'alavu boin leirish. V'alavu boin leirish. Each one has some sort of schus to come Yarshin. What do we say the halach is going to be? The halach is going to be yachlokes. So what does it mean? Halalu bon leirish, the halalu bon leirish. So the Rashbam says each one has a good taina. On the one hand, she brought it into the marriage. On the other hand, he assumed responsibility, because any upside and downside, he's going to be responsible for. So it's interesting. You always think of Nechsei Tzayim Barzel as being pretty straightforward. Nechsei Miluk, she owns. Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, he owns. But if it was so poshut that he owned it, I don't think there'd be such a shaila in the Gemara. Becheskas me. Ksuba, the Gemara knows for sure, goes to his Yarshim. Nechsei Miluk, the Gemara knows for sure, goes to her Yarshim. So why is Nechsei Tzayim Barzel such a shaila? Obviously, it's a little bit more confusing than we may think it is. And that's really
which
more.
That she would. Which that she would. That he had. Ksuba also has that. What's his name? That Ksuba.
No, so very.
That's she dies first.
It's unbelievable. Just like walks right in and boom. Mid-season form. Except he's been learning all night.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? What's the difference? No. But what's the? I have an unfair advantage. I saw the Rashbam, but no, let me hear.
The ksuba was never hers.
No, but what's the?
Exactly.
What's the?
The ksuba was
never
hers. Very good. Came from her with the tzai.
Maybe he also saw the Rashbam. Either way, on that note. I said, don't be sharp when he oversleeps. No, I'm kidding.
I was saying to him at a quarter of six in the morning. Every morning
he goes through this. Took the Mishnah. Nafal Abayis Olav Alimoy. Third case. So the first Mishnah was Nafal Abayis Olav Alaviv. The second Mishnah is Nafal Abayis Olav Al Ishtoi. The third Mishnah is Nafal Abayis Olav Al Imoy. So really, this sugya is going to take us in to the very last daf of Perek Mishmeis. But just to start it this morning, so there's a man and his mother. They're in a house. Le'aleinu, the house was Nafal. They both died. And the shaila is, who died first? Did the son die first, or did the mother die first? And again, the Yarshei Ha'em are saying one thing, the Yarshei Ha'ben are saying something else. Zok the Mishnah, that despite the fact that in the two previous cases it was Machloikis B'Shamay and Beisilul, Beisilul said Yachloiku in both cases. Beisilul said you go by the Muchzik in both cases. And even though it sounded like the Svaras between the two Mishnayos were not the same, the first was based on Shitas Beisilul of Shtaro Imid Ligvayis Kigavoy Dami. The second sounded more related to Sumchas' din of Maman Amulta B'Safik Chalkim Alash. Two small sugis in chas, but here the Mishnah says elu ve'elu moedim sheyach loiku. Meaning, even Beis Hillel is going to be moed over here. The halacha is going to be yachloiku. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said moed ani bezu. I don't agree. Shanechasim becheskasim. Rabbi Akiva, who came from Beis Hillel's camp, said that even in this case, the halacha is going to be that you leave it by the muchzik. Amalei Ben Azai. So Ben Azai told Rabbi Akiva ala chalukim. Says, I'm having a hard enough time accepting the fact that Bisham and Bisol argued in the two previous cases. You have to make this into machlekes also. Finally, Elu ve'elu shavim. There's no machlekes here between Bisham and Bisol. And you have to invigorate a machlekes. Again, we'll see more about this and some of the personality that you see here in the Mishnah between Ben Azai, Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara is going to actually shtelzach on some of the personality. But either way, first a short Gemara. B'cheskas mi. So, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah says, Elu ve'elu moedim sheyachloiku. Rabbi Akiva said, no. The same sheet as Beis Hillel. Moedani bezu sha'nechasim becheskasam. Who's the muchzik? Rabbi Elu ama becheskas Yarshei Ha'en. The Yarshei Ha'en. Rabbi Zeira ama becheskas Yarshei Ha'ben. The Yarshei Ha'ben. You saw the Rabbi Zeira. When Rabbi Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, come b'shitas ed Rav Eila. He came around. He started saying it differently. And in Eretz Yisrael, he felt that the halacha was like Rav Eila, who was his Baal Plukta originally, who holds that it's Becheskas Yarshei Ha'en. Come Rabba, B'shitasei, the Rab Zeira, Omer Rab Zeira said, Shmamina, Avir Deret Yisrael Machkim. There must be Avir Deret Yisrael. This is the Makar, Avir Deret Yisrael Machkim. It's tucked away, and then the Perish Misha Meis, Bava Basar, Kufnun Chesam, is V'tam Amai. What's the reason? He had this thought that blew him away. Wow. Avir Deret Yisrael Machkim happened at the Kaisel. Like, what happened? What was this grace of Svara that moved him so much? He realized that there was a thief guide over here. Amar Abaya Hoyle the Huchsik Nachlach Kabaisa Shevet. Because there's an idea of Avaris Nachlas, which we spoke about so much at Barakesh Neuchlin. Psukim in the Torah, and then the Parashat. The Torah was not happy about the Nachla transferring from one Shevet to another Shevet. So if you're going to leave it by the Yar Sheo Aim, it's going to remain in the same Shevet. But if you're going to give it to the son, it's not. So Avaris Nachlas. Let that be the machria, and let that tell us exactly how to go about it.
So it's chazak, like I'm saying. That's something that the Rebbe doesn't want, but the ma'aseh at the end of the day is this chazak. Who did it belong to?
And there's a moment I'm multiple safik. That's
it's a big shayla. What does it do for the safik? You give me a reason why I should go over, but it's not a chron the safik or not. I'm saying what is.
When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll understand. No. All right. Either way, so speaking about Chayvus and Shibudin, so we're
Bali Chayv
on Katan Raid Part 3. I don't remember what Chesky called it, but something along those lines. So either way, earlier in the week, we had a little bit of a digression, and we didn't do it. The daf itself did it. Sometimes we do it, but the daf itself digressed and got into halachas of Katan and gadol, and when a child becomes a gadol. At first glance, you think, when does a child become a gadol? He becomes a gadol when he turns 13 years old. That's when he becomes a gadol. That's when he can engage in mekach hamemker. That's when he becomes chayiv mitzvahs. That's when he can be mekadesh shenisha, etc., etc. But we've seen already that it's garnish as a pashit. So part one of this three-part series, we talked about the age of 20. The age of 20, it started off with the Gemara in Bava Basra, where the Gemara said that a son that yarshins karka from his father is not allowed to sell that karka until he turns 20 years old. And the reason is because we don't trust his judgment until he turns 20. When he's still in his teenage years, we don't fully trust him. Once he graduates, he becomes 20 years old, at that point we do. And we digressed a little bit about the age of 20, the idea that Bezin Shalmaila doesn't punish a person until he turns 20 years old. Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, Rashi in Parshas Koirach, the Gemara Mesach the Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes on the base, the Tshuva from the Noid of Yehuda, where he says he can't take it literally that one day after 120, a person is going to stand in front of the Kisei HaKavod and Hashem is going to give him a total pass on the first 20 years of his life, because if that's the case, Olam Hefker Yiyah V'Yiratzach Ishes Chaveroi V'Yinaf, people will do whatever they want to do. It'll be total anarchy. And there's no way in the world that something would be acceptable. What does it mean? It means that when a person's alive, he doesn't get punished for things that he did before he was 20 years old. We spoke at the Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said that Chazal was only referring to specific unction, not the regular unction that a person gets for violating Taryag Mitzvahs. But it's more the Hira Shah, such as the Dara Mabel, Sara, where Rashi brings in the beginning, Chashas Chayasara, who was Kaidah Matan Taira. So when you're dealing with more unique situations, over there there's this idea of a person not being punished for something that happens before he was 20. We spoke with the Marami Pragskash, with the Chacham Tzvi, and the Bnei Yisoscha, the Chida. So we spoke at some festivity. That was part one. Part two, we got involved in what is the halacha with someone who turns 13 years old but didn't bring two sayers. Meaning, when does a person become gadol? When it brings shtei sayers. And ordinarily, you think the whole chashivas of 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl, is the chazak of the rabbi, that presumably the person brought Cyrus. But if you know for sure that somebody's 13 years old and didn't bring Shtei Cyrus, you would think he's going to be a cotton called up. Stating that, we mentioned the Shitas Yerushalmi that's brought down as a Yesh Oimrim. That a person who turns 13 years old, even if he didn't bring Shtei Cyrus, he's Kasha Lodon. He could already be a Dayan. And at first glance, it's very sure. So we mentioned that the Bach and the Urim V'tumim, they're very matchik to understand Pashim Shad in that Shitas HaMechaber. So we shtel to the Rambam Shita, the Rambam Perikid Aleph in Hilchas Nadar, that says that the mufla samach l'ish that you find in many places, the mufla samach l'ish is talking about someone not that the bar mitzvah, but he was higiel chlal shonim, avoloi higiel chlal sairus. That person says the Rambam, although he's not a gadol l'chol davar, but for some things he's going to be treated like a gadol. And we said there's a davar chadash in this Rambam, that the Rambam understood that if someone becomes 13, even without the chazak of the Rav, he doesn't have the shtei sairus, that in and of itself gives him a miktsas gadlos. On some level, he becomes a gadol as well. Said over the Rogach of a Goyim, who explains the Lashon HaRambam in Hilchis Shkogis. We spoke out a gewaldige chiddush from the Meiser Rekeach, what the Rambam means when he says G'doyle Eishes HaKotan doesn't drink Meisaita. G'doyle Eishes HaKotan had the cotton get married in the first place. So the Chizchinuch asks the Kashin Shin Samachet. The Chizchinuch says maybe it means Yibum, maybe it means the Rebar Barzeli that the Noid Behuda discusses in a bunch of Tshuvas. But says the Meisra Kech, no, you know which cotton the Rambam is referring to? He doesn't mean a full-fledged cotton. He means a cotton that was Igiel Chal Shonav, Igiel Chal Cyrus. The Rambam L'Shitasayu holds, he has a Din Gadol with regards to certain areas in Halacha, and this area will be treated a Gadol in terms of his ability to be able to get married, but as it relates to tricking the Meisaita, if it regards that, not. Another thing we talked about, and that will be the segue to this morning, and that is the Noid B'Yehuda. We will medayik l'shoynei hazav shal Noid B'Yehuda, that where he talks about that it's pashut, that a person one day is going to have to give dinva cheshbin, even for the averis that he did while he was a cotton, says the Noid B'Yehuda, says the, even averis that he did before he turned 20 years old, he says, at what age will a person have to start giving dinva cheshbin for? And we said that we saw in this night of Yehuda a davar chadash, because usually you think of the pe'utais in Chesha Mishpat, ha-pe'utais mekcha mekach, umem karu memker, it's only a din de rabbana, mishom kidei chayev, gittin nun tesam et aleph, gittin samich dalet amid beis, that's what the sugyas of pe'utais is. But you always think of it more in terms of certain abilities that the chachamim gave them. But that Pu'utais Shirei B'chayiv and Mitzvahs, that a Yid one day will be punished for an Averi that he did when he was 7 years old, if he was a Gil L'chal Pu'utais, Zeh Lo Shaman Ovel Eru'inu. That's Rei B'er B'chiddush. But that's what the Noid B'udah seems to just say almost Basiach L'fitumai. We said that we found the Tzlach. The Tzlach, to answer the Marshal's Kasha, that Eli wanted that Shmuel should get Nisa for being Mayor Allah B'fnei Rabbi. Fake the Marshal, Shmuel was a katan. Zok the Tzlach, he was a katan. But he was a katan charif. And a katan charif gets punished even for others that he does when he's a katan. So what the Noid of Yehuda said, literally, Masiach Levitumoy, in his famous Chuvi Yerdei of Tinyana, Simon Kuf Samach Dalet, he says, Bepe Mole, in his Tzlach, in Brochus, Laman Aleph Amud Beis. But it's a fascinating idea. There's this idea that a katan is responsible for what he does to the extent that he's a bar das. You always bar mitzvah, you chayiv a mitzvah. The first mitzvah you do, the second you do have to say Brochus HaTorah, you don't have to say Brochus HaTorah. Every bar mitzvah pshatel has something to do with the fact that you just became chayiv a mitzvah. Wow, we have a Noid of Yehuda, the Gadol Hadar of yesteryear, who seems to be very much of the opinion that if the Chachamim allow Pu'utais to buy and sell, you think maybe he should be Chayiv Mitzvahs too? It makes a lot of sense. The emes is that if you're Ma'ayin a little bit better, this conversation really started way before the Noid of Yehuda. As a matter of fact, it's a Gemara. It's sort of tucked away in the Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Hei Yamid Beis. The Gemara over there is going on a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Haba ala zocher v'ala behema, if someone is ba on a behema, or an isha that is nirvas with the behema, so the halacha is, the person's chayim misa, and the behema was also killed. Says the Mishnah, im adam chata behema machata, what did that behema do wrong? I understand why you're punishing the person, but why are you punishing the behema? Elo l'fisha ba adam takola yada, l'fika chamer akasav tisata. Says the Mishnah, you know why? Because this animal caused takola. It caused someone to do a horrible avera. So the animal is a bardas, not a bardas, from Yosef Engel, remember all that read from Bava Kama. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, it caused takala, if it caused takala, we're going to take it out. Dovarachar, this is not Tosfos, this is a mission. Dovarachar, shalitei behemai veris b'shuk, v'yoymru zuhi sheniskol poinei al yada. Additionally, there's a svara of busha, because people are going to see the behemah, they're going to say, you see that behemah, that's the one that caused poinei to die. So there's a svara of takala, and there's a svara of what the Gemara calls kloy, there's embarrassment. The Gemara declares, boy, Rav Sheshes, Gemara gave two reasons. Are they two independent reasons, or do the two reasons work together? Meaning, do you need takala and kloy in order to kill the animal? Or is it other? If there's takala or there's kloy, that's going to be enough to kill the animal. Says the Gemara Tashma, I'll bring you a great raya. Bryce says that a 9-year-old boy that's born a behema, they used to kill the behema. Says the Gemara. Bishloy makloy, I understand. He's a 9-year-old boy. It's embarrassing for the family. This behema caused this Yiddish boy to do something so horrible. But if it's takala, there was no takala. He's 9 years old. He's not a bar mitzvah. If he's not a bar mitzvah, there's no clawing. And for the Gemara, and I quote, this is Sanhedrin, Nun Hei Yom Beis. Kivan de b'mezidhu, being that the child did this aver b'mezid, takala namiyeka. It is a takala. V'rachmano hu tachasi laveh. The Torah, just so happens, has Rachmanis on him and is saying that despite the fact that you did an Avera, we're not going to kill you. Didei chas Rachmana, on him the Torah had Rachmanis, abehema le chas Rachmana. But on the Hema the Torah did not have Rachmanis. Shteita on the Gemara, taflo hafel. The Gemara says that the reason that we killed the behema would be true even if you need takala and klein. Because there is a takala. You think there's no takala with the boy? Why? Oh, because you don't kill the boy? That just means he's not a baroichin. It doesn't mean that he didn't do an avera. He did an avera. Takala namirka. So if there's a takala, then you have no raya that it's klein or takala. It could be it's klein and takala. There is takala by a katan, just like there is takala by a gadol. Freik Rameir Simcha Nar Sameach. There's no way this could be true. A Gemara, Noid of Yehuda is one thing. A Gemara, you have a Gemara Mefureshes over here, that a katan is chayiv a mitzvah, that a katan that doesn't have era, it's called a takala. And oh, by the way, the reason he's not punished is Rachmana hu dechasale, the Torah is having Rachmanas. As if to say, if the Torah didn't have Rachmanas, we would punish him. As if to say he didn't have era, I thought you become chayiv a mitzvah when you become a gadol. How could you?
Chayiv a mitzvah is totally an averus.
Oh, excellent. So we'll see one. So, Azoy Freik, Dor Sameach, says Dor Sameach, half of a fella, and behektem, a very well-known tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says this in a few different places. Be'ikr, it's in Yerideya, tshuva shin yod zayin. And he begins with a kasha that somebody sent him, and the kasha, the tshuva, was from the Maria side. He sent the following shayla to the Heilige Chassam Sofer. Shayla was that the Rambam says in Perek Yod Hilchas Melachim, Halacha Beis, that a ben noyach katan that is over one of the sheva mitzvahs bnei noyach, the halacha is ein oinshem. Lefisha ein bnei mitzvahs. Ulo oylam ein oinshem mehen loy katan, v'loy cheresh, v'loy shoyta, lefisha ein bnei mitzvahs. Just like there's a concept of katan and gadol b'dinei Yisrael, so too there's a concept of katan v'gadol when it comes to dinei bnei noyach. So ben noyach katan that doesn't have eira, paskins the Rambam, ein oinshin. You know why? Lefisha ein bnei mitzvahs. So the Maria Asad asked the Chassam Sofer the following question. His question was that the Rambam paskins earlier in Hilchas Malachim Perek Tes Halacha Yud that if a ben noyach eats eivah menachai, which is one of the sheva mitzvahs bnei noyach, even if he eats less than a kezayis, he eats a kol shehu, he's chayiv misa. All Isuri Achila have a Shir Kezayas. Shaloi Nidnu HaShiurin Ela LiYisrael Bavad, says the Rambam. Because Shiurim are Alach L'Moshe Misina. And those Shiurim were said LiYisrael. Wasn't said L'Bnei Noach. So a Yid has an Isra Evim Menachai, but there's a Shir Kezayas. So being that there's a Shir Kezayas, if he ends up eating less then a kezayis, it's only chatzis shir. It's totally chleikis, Rabbi Yechon, Rish Lakish. How you handle a chatzis shir? But it's going to be merely a chatzis shir. But that shir was never settled by Noach. If it was never settled by Noach, so it's pachit that if he eats even pachas mikachir, he's going to be chayiv misa just as if he would have eaten a shir. So what was the Maria Satz kasha? That we know that when does someone become a gadol when he's 13? Why when he's 13? Says the Rosh in the Tshuva, it's one of the shiurim that were never halacha l'moshe misinai. It's a shir. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. That when you turn 13, you chayiv mitzvahs. Says Kashua was like this. If the Rambam says there's no shir when it comes to bnei noyach, that means l'chayiv there should be no bar mitzvah. Because the whole bar mitzvah is from the shiurim. Just like there's no shir kezayis, there should be no shir ben shleisha esrei l'mitzvahs. If there's no shir by a katan and gadol, then how could the Rambam say in Perek Yud Hilchas Malachim that a katan that would eat eivah menachai would be not killed? What's the difference if he's 12 years old or if he ain't? Pachas mikazayas. They're both totally in the shiurim. The shiurim alach l'moshe misinai, and the Rambam says like in the shiurim el yisrael b'vat. So what's the difference between a benayach katan or benayach that eats pachas mikazayas? Azoyet the Maria Sad gefrekt the Hilge Chassam Sofer. Gvaldik. Zogt Chassam Sofer, it's a bomb kasha, but it's a toist kasha. He says, why? It's true the Rosh said that the Shir Yud Gimel is from the Shirim HaNemer L'Mochvesh B'Sinai. But the etzim idea that there's a Katan and a Gadol, and that once you reach a certain level of maturity, you're responsible for your actions. But when you're a Katan, you're not going to be responsible for your actions. That's Poshit. That's Poshit, said the Chassam Sofer. That's Poshit. That has nothing to do with Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Without the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, we would have also known that. What the Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai taught us was what that shir is. What does it depend on? Is it each? How do you view that? The answer is Shloish Esrei L'Mitzvahs. It's when a person turns 13 years old. There's a shir Achila. There's a shir Gzeila Shava Pruta. There's a shir when you chayiv a mitzvah. That shir is Yud Gimel. But without the shir, there'd still be a concept of a katan or gadol. So Zoktim, Riyasad, you're right. You're right. It's poshit that a ben noyach can't become bar mitzvah in terms of dinei ben noyach when he becomes 13 years old, because 13 is a shir v'liyisrael nemru v'loy lebnei noyach. So there's no number 13 when it comes to it. But it doesn't mean that there's no katan, there's no gadol. I'm not that there's a concept of a katan and a gadol. What is the concept of a katan and a gadol? Says the Chassam Sofer. He says if we don't have a shir and the chachamim didn't tell us anything, then you're probably going to have to do it the way the Gemara did in Gittin, nan tesam et aleph kol chad v'chad v'chorfe. You're going to have to look at the child, do an evaluation, and decide, is he a katan, is he a gadol, is he old enough, he's not old enough. We have this idea. That's the pu'utos. Kol chad v'chalafi p'kurfei. So you're going to have to look at each individual child and you're going to have to make a determination. Is he old enough or is he not old enough? Should we view him from now on as a cotton? Or should we view him from now on as a gadol? But again, the whole halacha l'moshe b'Sinai was only on the shir. It's only on 13. But as it relates to whether, as it relates to the idea of katan and gadol, that's pasha, that has nothing to do with the shir. So when the Rambam says that, lo oilam ein oinshem ein loy katan, lo chadosh hadu ein oinshem ein mitzvahs, kashish katan, What do you mean katan? I thought shiurim. And the shiurim would never be so great. The Rambam didn't say 13. If the Rambam would have said that a 12 and a half year old child, that would be a good kasha. The Rambam just said katan, whatever the definition of katan is. So what you see in this Chassam Sofer is gewalding. And by the way, Mechas Chinuch brings this same chiddush in a few places. And one of the places he says that he found the Chassam Sofer said the same chiddush, and he was mechavin to him, and he's all excited that he was mechavin to the Heilige Chassam Sofer. But bottom line, it's the Chassam Sofer, and Mechas Chinuch says it as well. You see that there's a concept of katanus and gadlus by a Benoyach, just like there's a concept of katanus and gadlus by Yisrael. The difference, however, is with Yisrael, it's a shir. You're 13, you're older, you're younger. When it comes to Benoyach, it's going to be kol chad v'chad v'fi chorfei. Says Rameya Simcha Tav Benoyach. Takes this to the next level. He says that we know the Gemara says in the Masechta Sanhedrin that it's not possible for a goy to be chayiv in something that he is not chayiv in. Shleitehei, kedusha kala, right? Can't be more chomer than the kedusha chamura. It's not possible. The Gemara says this for different kashes in Masechta Sanhedrin. But a goy can't be chayiv in something that he is. So if the Chassam Sofer, he quotes the Chassam Sofer, just proved to answer the very Yasad's kasha that a goy becomes a gadol potentially even before he's 13 years old. How so? Kifi chorfe, if he's reached the level of maturity that we feel that he comprehends things and he understands, a yid has to have that as well. But I thought by a yid you first become bar mitzvah when you're 13. Says Ramei Simcha, you're going to have to say that that's only for the mitzvahs that only the Yisrael has and not the goy. But for the shev and mitzvahs b'nei noyach that the yid didn't have just like the goy, or the goy didn't have just like the yid did, those shev and mitzvahs b'nei noyach, where the goy is going to become a gadol potentially when he's 8 years old, the yid will also have to become a gadol when he's 8 years old. Because otherwise the goy is going to be more chomer than the yid. So Ramei Simcha, this gemara over here, Sanhedrin on Hayam Adbeis, what are we talking about? Sheikh of the Mehema. Sheikh of the Mehema is one of the shev. Look it up. It's included in Gilead Arayas. A guy has it too. If a guy has it, that means the guy has it from what age? Kefi Chorfe. Once he's old enough to know what he's doing, he's already going to be chayiv. If that's the case, the yid's also going to have it once he's old enough to understand it. If the yid's also going to have it once he's old enough, that's the pshat in this gemara. Don't bring me a raya from here that a katan, even though he's a katan, is still chayiv and mitzvah is rachmanu d'chassalei. No, it's a tayyiv. You can't say that. This is tailor-made. It's specific right over here. It's only here that it works. But I'm going to tell you two haysafas on this. Number one, the Chassam Sofer continues in that tshuva, and he brings that he ro'isi b'sefer tshuva me'ahav from the Rav HaGoyin, Rav Blazer Fleckless, who was a Talmud Muvik of the Noida Yehuda. He said that somebody asked him a shayla. He asked him a shayla on this raid. He brings all this raid, and someone asked him a fester shayla. The shayla was that we know there's a muflo samachlish. What's a muflo samachlish? You're not an ish, because then you'd be an ish. You're only samachlish, but your das is mature enough that you understand things. Where does it come up in halacha? If you make a neder, the neder is going to be good. Neder, your nedavah, your hektish, your erichin, whatever you do is going to be good. The Gemara Masechtas Nazir Samach Beis Amin Aleph in the Hemshecha Gemara discusses that just like a yid can make a neder when he's a muflo samach leish, a guy, a ben noyach can also make a neder when he's a muflo samach leish. The Torah says ish lerabbis bnei noyach that the noydrim, the noydrim, right, goyim were able to bring karbonis once upon a time. Story counts about cancer. The case of Rami brought a carbon. They were able to bring karbonis once upon a time. It's learned that from the parasha ish. Not just that, says the Gemara, that just like a yisrael has a din of muflo samach leish, a ben noyach also has a din of muflo samach leish. Frecht this goyim to the tshuva may I have, says it makes no sense. Because what's the yisoid of a muflo samach leish? You're katan, but you have das. You're intelligent. Miloshin pele. You're real. So by a Yisrael with the sheer godless is totally in 13. So what if you're 12? Or what if you were a Gil Chlal Shon of Gil Chlal Cyrus? So there's a musik, there's a new creature called Muflo Samach Leish, and we have a ribuy in the parish of Nedar that his nether is going to be a nether. But a guy, if you're a Muflo, then by definition you're an ish. So what's possible for Samach Leish? That's what he asked the Chuvah Me'ahav. Zok Techsam Sofer, this cash is also toys. He says, you know why? He says, because that's poshet. That although we're saying that a goy becomes a gadol when he's the gil chaldas, that's only with regards to the sheva mitzvah b'nei noach. He says why? Because any other mitzvah that a goy will ever be shayich to, why is he shayich? Why does a goy have shayiches to the parish of Nedarim? Because there's a ribuy in the parish of Nedarim. Ish the rabbi so kechavim. What does that mean? That means we're allowing the ena yehudi access into our parish. This is really VIP. You shouldn't be invited. We're going to allow you access. We're going to let you into the parish of the daughter. But if you're coming now to my party, you're going to have to conform to my rules. your Sheva Mitzvah Nayachdir, you have your own Shulchan Aruch. But if you're coming to my party, you have to conform to my Shulchan Aruch. And a Yid's Shulchan Aruch is Yud Gimel. So over here, Zochti Chsan Sofer, even the cut, the Eini Yehudi, even the Ben Noyach is going to become a Gadol first when he turns 13 years old. Half of a fella. So it's true, with regards to the Sheva Mitzvah Nayach, the whole concept of Muflo Samachlish is an oxymoron. It makes no sense. Because if you're a Muflo, then you're not Samachlish. Then by definition, you are an Ish. But that's only for Dinei Bnei Nayach. But as it relates to Halachis of Yisrael, over there, being that it's inherently Jewish Parsha, there they're totally in Dinei Yisrael. Dinei Yisrael is becoming a Mitzvah when you turn 13. But if you take the Chsam Soy for a second Chiddush to answer the Chum Mehavas Kasha, and you take the Ur Sameach's Chiddush, what are you left with? By Sheva, Mrs. B'nai Nayach, even a Yid becomes a Gadol when he's a Glia L'chaldas. By all other mitzvahs, even a Goy doesn't become a Gadol until he becomes 13 years old. So where exactly is the Nafgamina between a Yehudi and an Eini Yehudi? I leave you with that question. But just one more ha'ara, one more piece of rain. And that is, and I'll tell you something, half of a fella. That is that the Prima Gadim, in his Psicha Koilelis, which is just classic, you want good rain, go through the Prima Gadim Psicha Koilelis. The Prima Gadim brings a kasha from Nachrayna. The halacha is that a katan is not allowed to write tefillin. A katan is possible. Like, see, by the way, if you ever have to speak at a non-Jewish bar mitzvah, this is a great bar mitzvah pshetel. Just hit me. She katan possible. Like, see, v'stvelin. Dechsev uksharetem uksavtem. Mishu b'teiris k'shiva yachal lichtoiv. V'katan ein bar k'shiva. That's the law. So uksharetem uksavtem. If you're shayach to uksharetem, so then you're shayach to uksavtem. But if you're not a bar k'shira, you're not going to be chayiv in ksiva either. It's a gemara, mesach, this getting that. And hey, it's brought down a shulchan aruch, erchayim simin lametesiv kotna. Freak the prima godim. That the halach is that a kotna's a lot of shech. As long as there's a gadol imad al gabav, a kotna's a lot of shech. Kasha is that there's a very similar rule in hilchah shechita as there is in hilchah kshira. You have to be a bar zvicha. Someone that's a bar zvicha can shecht. Someone that's not a bar zvicha cannot shecht. If you're telling me that a kotna can shecht, what does that mean? It means there's a bar zvicha. So frek, the prima godin. Why in Hilchas Tefillin do we view the cotton as not being a bar kshira, but in Hilchas Shechita we do view the cotton as being a bar zvicha? What's the difference? You're not a bar kshira because you're a cotton. You're a chayv mitzvahs. So then you shouldn't be a bar zvicha either. You don't have the isin of it. So the prima godin says something unbelievable. I'm going to tell you his lashon, and then we're going to go because we can't get into this prima godim. There's too much here. Tzarech loymar. The mitzvahs asay, kum asay rachmana, patri legami the katan. Mitzvahs asay, a katan doesn't have. Masha inkin lois asay, katan chayev. Elo delab ne deya hafa. So there's a chiluk between bar zvich and bar kshira. Bar kshira is asay. Tefillin is a mitzvah asay. Bar zvicha, that's the isin avela. That's a lois asay. A katan is not a bar kshira because he has no connection to mitzvahs asay, but he is a bar zvicha. Because he does have connection to Klois Asay. But there's a sefer called Shailos Uchuvas Beis Sha'arim from a Friya Digger Gadol. And he said, to answer this kasha, half of a fellow. He's makd in the Yisoid of the Ar Samech. He was mechavin to Ramei Simcha. He was mechavin to this idea that it could be there's a chiluk between when even a Yid becomes a Gadol, between Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach and between all the other Tayag Mitzvahs. All the Tayag Mitzvahs, that's the Mishnah Novice. Ben Shloish Esrei. Ben Shloish Esrei L'mitzvahs. But what's the basis for it? It's the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. And being that it's based on Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, a guy who doesn't have the Shiurim, like the Rambam says in Perek Tes, Halacha Yod and Ilchas Malachim, doesn't become Bar Mitzvah when he's 13. When does he become Bar Mitzvah? He becomes Bar Mitzvah when he becomes a Bar Das. It's for that reason, his Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, he'll be Chayiv as soon as he becomes a Bar Das. Now, if a guy is going to be Chayiv and Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach as soon as he becomes a Bar Das, then Lekomidi de La'akum Asr L'Yisrael Shari, the Yid is also going to have to become Chayiv and the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach as soon as he becomes Bar Das. The Yisoid Ador Sameach, Zok Tebe Sha'arim, that's the answer to this Kasha. Because Bar Kshira is Mitzvah's Tvilin. A Kotim will never have any connection to the Mitzvah of Tvilin. But Bar Zvicha, what's the Yisoid of Bar Zvicha? Eva ben Achai. Eva ben Achai is one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. If Eva ben Achai is one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, then it comes out that when do you become a godly in Eva ben Achai? It's not totally when you become 13 years old, but it's totally when you're higiach l'chlal das, because that's what it is for an Eini Yehudi, like the Chassam Sofer said in the Tshuva, and lekum midi de la'akum asur uli Yisrael shari. If that's the case, that's why it's possible for a katan to shech. Because if you have a katan that's he's going to be considered a bar zvicha. He needs to make sure he's doing the right thing. But as long as he's gil lechlal das, that's already enough that you're going to be considered bar kshira. Even if you're gil lechlal das, you're not going to be, because that's not one of the shadows. Then you're going to become a godel when you're 13 years old. But bar zvicha, as soon as you're gil lechlal das, that's going to be enough. So either way, we ended part two and segued into part three with a Noida B'Yehuda. The Noida B'Yehuda who Bilashayne Hazav in his Tshuva Kuf Samach Dal Yerdeh Tinyana. Noida B'Yehuda in Slach, we mentioned the Ramah. The Ramah says that it's a Dover Toiv and Nochain for a person to do Tshuva, even Averis that he did when he was a Katan. And we said it seems like a very, very big Chiddush. But after further review, after further analysis, what we see is that it's a little deeper than that. And it really begins with the Talmud Bavli. It begins with a Mishnah, Nun Dalad Amar Aleph in Sanhedrin, an ensuing Gemara, Nun Hei Amid Beis in Masechta Sanhedrin, with Tilei, Tilei, Reid, Bar Sameach, the Beis Sharem, based on this Tshuva Sassam. Sorry for a lot of fester, but I just want to end and say, so there's a Gemara in Masechta's Gittin, Daf Samach, Hei Amar Aleph, well-known Gemara, Amar Rava, Gimel Midois Bekata. And Rava was talking about Chayshe Mishpat, So Rava had his three midos b'kadosh. What was Rava talking about when he spoke about his three midos b'kadosh? He was talking about darkei chayshe mishpat. That's what he was referring to. There's a tzrar v'zorgei egos v'noitloi. There's pu'utais, there's mufla samach le'ish, and then you have limkar b'nichse yaviv, that was our sugya, achiyya ben esrim. What we see from a lot of the raid that we spoke at in the last few days, that this doesn't just impact the laws of chayshe mishpat, but it impacts when you become chayiv and mitzvahs. Pu'utais mekha mekach could be you're going to be chayiv and mitzvahs. Maybe Yehuda seemed to suggest maybe all mitzvahs. That was why Shmuel was chayiv misa for being meir alocha b'fnei rabbi, despite the fact that he was merely pu'utos. The arsenach that says that for sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, certainly you're going to be chayiv. The idea of mufla samach lish, it's not just a random alocha nuchas adarim. The Rambam seems to apply this idea in Hilchas Shkogas, like the Rogachava said, in Hilchas Ishas, like the Meiser Akeach says, in Hilchas Soita, it comes up in different areas. And finally, Limkar B'nichse Yo'aviv Acheh Ben Esrim, that's related to the idea that Shemayim, they don't punish a person until he turns 20 years old. It means there's another level of obligation that a person has in mitzvahs. Listen, we're all old men anyway, so we're chayiv in everything. But in terms of the hisbagrus, the maturation process, it happens in phases, and there seems to be some correlation between Ravas, Shalosh Midos Bekotah, which is Chayshe Mishpadig in nature, to when it is a child becomes chayiv in mitzvahs.